Hello, and welcome to episode 60 of the Movie Marathoners podcast, part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. I'm your host, Mati, and joining me today is frequent guest and pitcher for the Atlanta Braves, Ian Anderson. Welcome back to the podcast, Ian. Congratulations on your MLB debut. How have you been?
You know, I've been pretty good. As you said, debuted in the MLB, Major League Baseball, Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. My group of Ian Andersons on Facebook really enjoyed that there's an Ian Anderson in the MLB now.
Did you add him to the Facebook group?
No, we can't find him. Yeah, I'm guessing he has a private account or something.
Yeah, that probably makes sense.
There are just really high-tier Ian Andersons out there we can't get in touch with.
You're just like the bottom of the barrel Ian Andersons.
Well, yeah, we're like B-C tier in our group.
Yeah, isn't there a singer, Ian Anderson?
Yeah, from the rock band Jethro Tull.
Okay, well, that's your like white whale, I think, for that group.
Yeah, he's really up there.
So, Ian, movies are finally back in theaters. The theaters in Boston and all over Massachusetts, all over the United States are open, and there are finally new movies, which means this week, we're not talking about any of those movies. We are not going to theaters. I personally do not feel it is safe still, and I don't think I'm going to be going into an inside theater for quite some time. I don't know about you.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. So on this podcast, today we are going to be looking at something that's still on streaming. This week, we'll be running through the animated series on HBO Max, Harley Quinn. So as usual, we'll warm up with a spoiler-free review of the TV show, and then we'll run into spoiler territory where we can talk freely about both seasons of the show. But before we do that, last weekend, Warner Bros. / DC, they had this huge event called the DC Fandom, which I think is kind of a dumb name, but it was a very big event all over Twitter, all over social media. This was a live stream that you could tune into to watch panels and announcements about virtually every upcoming DC property. We got trailers, movie announcements, tons of exciting things that I think are going to be really fun to talk about. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to have a conversation about the DC fandom that comes before Harley Quinn, and that's how we'll do the episode. I think that's going to be super fun, but it does feel impossible to talk about some of this superhero stuff without just briefly mentioning the passing of the great Chadwick Boseman. I generally don't like talking about this kind of stuff on the podcast because I find that podcasts and specifically this podcast are kind of meant to be a distraction from the awful, awful things going on in real life. But I thought this death hit me pretty hard and I wanted to acknowledge it. So for those of you who don't know, Chadwick Boseman played T'Challa or Black Panther in the MCU. He also did a ton of other incredible roles like Jackie Robinson in 42 and Thurgood Marshall in Marshall. And we found out on Friday that he passed away at the age of 43 due to colon cancer that he was privately fighting for about 4 years. And I think that's a huge gut punch, especially to know that he gave us performances like what he did in Civil War, Black Panther, Avengers Infinity War, and Endgame, all while fighting cancer. And I think it really goes to show that you never know the silent battles that people are fighting. He's an inspiration to black and brown children, and he opened the doors to diversity in the superhero genre, and I think that impact will be felt for years to come. Black Panther changed movies, and that doesn't happen without Chadwick Boseman. So thank you for T'Challa, thank you for your bravery, and thank you for your inspiration. Rest in peace, rest in power. Ian, I can't think of a celebrity death that has been this upsetting to me since Stan Lee, and yeah. I think part of that is just because of how much these films mean to me, not because they're necessarily cinema at its finest or anything, but because they are kind of seminal to our friendship. And I think I have great memories of going to Comic-Con in 2017 with you, and we just got glimpses of the entire Black Panther cast. And it was so exciting to just see all of that before we even knew the phenomenon that it was going to be. And so I think it was incredible. I really just can't believe he's gone. But I want to just give you a chance to say anything before we move on, if there's anything you want to say.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, this definitely did hit me just as hard as Stan Lee, I think. And like you said, there are so many like great things that he's done with his career, in movies and out of movies, inspiring people. And just like with Stan Lee, I feel like it's so easy to not just be upset about this, but look back and see like how many amazing things this person has done.
Yeah.
Just like seeing people tweet about him, like the guy who's going to be playing Shang-Chi,
Simu Liu. That was a wild tweet. Yeah. So
yeah, just powerful. Like what he said, like he wouldn't have this opportunity without Chadwick Boseman. Characters like Ms. Marvel probably wouldn't be happening in the MCU without Chadwick Boseman. Like so many opportunities were created by him, like proving that, you know, a person of color can be a superhero on big screen, make $1 billion,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's crazy. And it's just really amazing to see. And we'll definitely miss him, but we're definitely going to remember him in that way, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you will feel his legacy going forward. Everything that the MCU does going forward will not have happened without Chadwick Boseman and without Black Panther. And It's just, I think it's a, you know, the silver lining is that his legacy will be felt, I think.
Totally, yeah.
So, rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman. Thank you so much for everything. Let's go ahead and move on. The DC fandom. So let's clear the air a little bit. Where do we start with the DC fandom? Did you watch any of this thing live at all, Ian?
Yeah, I did. I think the only parts I caught live, though, were like about Titans. I was like, I don't really care.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say here that I don't really want to talk about any of the TV show properties. Like, yeah. I don't care.
No, I 100% agree.
I was looking at a like synopsis of all the news that came out, and one of the lines of news that came out was that season 7 of The Flash is going to pick up right where season 6 left off. And I was just like, when was the last time that you watched The Flash TV show? I think maybe season 4 for me. I can't believe that show's still going.
Oh, no, I actually watched the most recent season. It was, I mean, it's one of those shows I can just mindlessly watch while doing something else.
Yeah.
And I'm sure these shows are all for somebody. They, like, most of them just aren't for me, though.
Yeah, I mean, a ton of people tuned into this. I can't remember the exact numbers, but it was apparently like a crazy amount. And I think, you know, it was a buzz for the week. So that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That weekend, Dana and I went to visit her parents. And Dana was somewhere else, like doing something. And I was sitting in the living room, and her mom was like, I tuned into part of the convention, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, huh, kind of surprising that Dana's mom would tune into the DC fandom. And then before I said anything to be like, oh, I didn't know you were a DC fan, I realized that the Democratic National Convention was also going on. And it was definitely that. So before I said anything stupid, I realized that. And I was like, oh, yeah, I haven't watched any of that. So
what'd you think of Batman?
That Batman trailer, though, huh? Speaking of, let's hop into the trailer corner. And I think let's talk about the Batman. I think that's the biggest trailer that came out of this, debatably. You know, we also got Wonder Woman 1984 trailer, a Suicide Squad, I mean, the Suicide Squad trailer thing, and then the notorious Snyder Cut trailer. But let's talk about the Batman first. What are your thoughts about this trailer and excitement for the project?
Yeah, I'm so excited for the Batman.
You and everyone.
This is the most hyped I've been for a Batman movie, I think. And, you know, they sort of said that this was only after like 25% of the filming. I don't know how much that actually means to me, but I think it's pretty cool that they could stitch together a really cool trailer out of that. But like what stood out most to me out of this was it seems like it's going to be following Batman as, you know, the world's greatest detective, which isn't a thing that we've gotten, I don't think. So, like, fully formed, I don't think we've gotten that in any Batman movie so far. We've gotten, like, Batman beats up Ra's al Ghul, Batman beats up, I don't know, like, Bane. He kills these people in BVS. Yeah. Like, it's only, like, brute force Batman, I think, that we've seen so far. Or, like, the Iron Man version of Batman in The Dark Knight. And I'm really excited to see that side of the character really fleshed out in this. And I think that, assuming it's Riddler, I don't know if it's been confirmed as Riddler as the villain.
I think it is, yeah. Paul Dano is playing Riddler.
Okay. Well, I think that he's the perfect villain for that, because he just wants to prove his like intellectual superiority over Batman. And I think that's going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah. I agree with everything you're saying. And I think the trailer is a good trailer. I think it does a lot to excite people. But there is something still that I talked a little bit about it last week on the podcast, that I'm just not really excited about Batman things anymore. And I think part of that is just like a deluge of Batman stuff over the years and just getting Batman after Batman after Batman. And I mean, I guess you could say the same thing about Spider-Man to an extent, but I just feel like the Batman character is relatively one-dimensional, in my opinion. It's always brooding to me. And yeah, Robert Pattinson, I think, is a great actor, and it's clear in the trailer that he's going to be a great Batman, but he's still a Batman. And I feel like I don't believe that there's anything that's going to be that different than what we've seen before.
Yeah, I think I'm going to disagree with you on that, just because... well, just because, honestly, like, repeating what I said, I guess, we haven't seen the sort of mystery side, and I'm really hoping that they commit to that. And obviously very different than something like Knives Out, but something along the same lines as, like, they have you on the edge of your seat trying to figure out in your head what's going on the whole time. I hope that they do something like that where they really make the audience think rather than showing Bruce think and then he tells us what happened, you know?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying. I'm so worried that it's just going to be another dark or somehow even darker brooding Batman, and it's still going to be my parents are dead, I'm an orphan, I wear black, you know, like,
yeah,
there's just so many other characters I think in the DC universe, and then also like Batman adjacent characters I think that are significantly more interesting to me and have offer something that we haven't seen again and again. And
yeah,
it's not that, you know, again, Matt Reeves, great director, I thought the Planet of the Apes movies were incredible. So that is, you know, something I'm really looking forward to like get to see him in a big budget movie. And if it's a Batman movie, then fine. It's just like, there's something that I'm just a little reserved on, which is that I don't really care about this. I just have no energy left to give for the darkness of this character.
Yeah, I get that. And if that's what's setting you off, I guess, then you probably are thinking the right way, because I don't think this is going to be anything but dark.
You don't think it's going to secretly be a comedy? I mean, the thing is, I'm not, you know, also I'm not asking for it to be like a light romp or anything like that. I guess most of my problems really just come from the Batman character and the box that we kind of put him in just for the sake that he's Batman, you know? So there's nothing really that I have against Robert Pattinson or Matt Reeves or anybody. I guess the one thing I might say is that maybe you can completely contradict me here, but the Riddler doesn't seem much different than the Joker, in my opinion. I think they have different beliefs and a different belief system, but a lot of what they're doing, aka torturing Batman, seems very similar.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It depends totally on the interpretation of the characters, but usually Joker, yeah, he's trying to torture Batman. He like has this weird relationship in his head with Batman. But Riddler, I think, really just wants to prove his intellectual superiority over the character.
Oh, okay.
And he just happens to put people in danger to do that. Like, he doesn't care who gets hurt in the process, and that's what makes him a villain.
Okay.
But he wants to prove that he's smarter and better than Batman.
I gotta say, it's really hard to take Batman seriously also, like, after all those Batman videos on YouTube of Pete Holmes just being an absolute moron as Batman. I'll say one more thing, and then we can move on, and I'll promise I'll be less negative going forward. But the other thing that
We still have the Snyder Cut.
I'll make that kind of positive.
All right.
But one of the things that kind of bothers me about the way that this trailer is received already is that people are kind of pitching it already as like the best iteration of Batman and the best Batman movie that we'll ever get. And oh, it's going to get Oscars and it's going to be nominated and best picture for Batman. And that's kind of a me thing, I guess, to like teach myself how to temper my expectations. But I just like get so tired by how every Batman thing has to be the best thing ever or the worst thing ever. And you can never be like, oh, the Batman was fine. You know, that's not an interesting take, I understand, but it's just so tiring. It's like Star Wars or like some of the MCU films that people actually care about that aren't, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy.
I get that. But something that does seem promising about this movie and the other movies that we're going to talk about with the DC fandom is that it seems like DC, Warner Brothers, whatever, they're very, it seems like they're committing to like the whole multiverse thing, not even like a connected multiverse, but they're committing to telling just stories now.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like they're trying to connect everything together in some like perfect, not perfect way like the MCU. MCU isn't perfect, but they're it doesn't seem like they're trying to do what the MCU was doing with their connectivity. And I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, you can have a Robert Pattinson Batman who is completely different than the little kid in the Joker, which is completely different than whoever the hell is showing up in the Flash, which I'm sure we'll talk about. I do agree that that's like the right way to go because they clearly showed that they stumbled when they were trying to just copy Marvel. And hopefully there's some part of that plan that allows them to create like a Justice League thing that is exciting like that, because there's these characters that people really care about and seeing them team up is important. So hopefully they can do that. But I do think the idea of let's make a remake of Seven basically, but it has the Batman in it. So now it's going to make $1 billion. I do think that's a smart play.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I just hope they commit to it.
Yeah. Let's talk about one of the other movies. We got a Wonder Woman 1984 trailer. And when the first trailer for this came out, like way back before the world went to shit or the most recent iteration of the world going to shit.
Right.
Yeah. We got the trailer and I didn't watch it. I was like, I'm going to watch this movie. Whatever. It's fine. But I just felt like I had to watch this just because I was starved for content in some superficial level. And I watched it. What'd you think, Ian? Wonder Woman 1984.
You hadn't seen the previous trailers?
No. I heard they were very like, it's the 80s.
Yeah. I guess they were pretty similar to this trailer in the way that they were like making a bunch of 80s jokes. But they sort of extended upon like a few just like cool clips that were in the previous trailers, like her swinging on lightning.
Yeah, that's cool.
That was in the previous trailers, and I thought it looked really lame in those trailers. I was like, all right, like this doesn't make any sense. And also, it seemed like the special effects weren't like at the point that they are now at that stage. But I think it looks much better now, and I'm like fully on board now with just being like, okay, this is magic. She's a god. I'm fine. I'm fine with it. It looks cool. And I think the whole movie just like looks really cool in that way. Like you just really have to suspend your disbelief.
Yeah, that's the thing with these DC characters is that so many of them are just larger than life in a way that not even like Doctor Strange or the Hulk, which are impossible creations, in a way that they like just are still grounded. You got these literal gods running around, and that's the cool part of DC. I think the main issue that I had with the first Wonder Woman was, other than like from a story perspective, which we can't judge 1984 on, the CGI just really didn't work for me. It was very choppy. And I think already this CGI looks better. One of the things that people came out of this trailer was complaining that the Kristen Wiig cheetah looked terrible.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I completely disagree. They keep saying, oh, it's Cats. This is Cats 2, which... the thing is, I could barely see Cheetah in the trailer. I like they don't really show her. And I think the reason for that is because the effects aren't done. But I don't know what people are going off about that. I think this looks like a really solid movie. I don't think it's going to be the best movie ever, but I think it's going to be an entertaining movie.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Is Cheetah, you think, going to be like the main villain of it?
Do you think she's going to be like a pawn or something?
Because they also have
Pedro Pascal.
Another guy, Maxwell Lord, I think his name is.
Oh, he's in the first season of Supergirl, isn't he?
Oh, is he? I can't remember.
Am I making that up?
No, you might be right. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure he's a villain in the comics. I don't know a ton of Wonder Woman history.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Anything I know from Wonder Woman is from the movie and the like second episode of Harley Quinn. So, yeah, but I mean, I think it looks like a good trailer. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Gal Gadot is the perfect Wonder Woman. It's insane.
Yeah, she totally is.
She's not a real human being.
It's the same with Henry Cavill, though. Like, I feel like while he's not my favorite Superman by any stretch of the imagination, I think he nails that larger than life look.
Yeah, he does. He looks like he was made in a lab. Both of them.
He does.
Do.
Yeah, like, totally.
All right. So Wonder Woman 1984, that is allegedly coming, I think, in like a couple weeks/months, right?
Yeah, it is like October or something like that.
Yeah, let's hope that it gets played in drive-ins or something, or else I'm not seeing it. So, all right, let's move on to, we're going to save the best/worst for last. So let's go to The Suicide Squad. This is a movie by James Gunn that is like a sequel-ish, reboot-ish thing to just Suicide Squad. I hated the first Suicide Squad. There's parts that are fun. I think I watched it once and I have not gone back to it for obvious reasons, but there's things to like in that. And I think this looks like a huge improvement.
Yeah, this looks awesome. This looks like James Gunn, like, getting his perfect movie pretty much with his background in like horror and like gore, combined with like what he did with Guardians, like putting these random characters together, making them work well, making it funny, making you feel for them. But he's also combining it with his like rated R side. Yeah. Like I am so excited for this movie.
Yeah. I know I was super hesitant to embrace this movie when they first announced it, because like, I had such a bad taste in my mouth about Suicide Squad. And at the time that they announced this, I did not have faith in anything that DC was doing. And now they've gotten a couple, like what I would say, at least on base hits, you know. And I guess we should be clear that this is not really a trailer. It's kind of like a behind the scenes promo thing. You got some character posters and you got some images of people in costumes.
Yeah. They also did the cast trailer kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but like that's mainly just posters or sort of moving graphics and stuff. So we don't actually know what it looks like, but what we have seen, I think, is cool. Is there any specific character that you're really excited for in this? Let me ask a first question. Do you know any of these characters besides Harley Quinn and King Shark, obviously?
I knew a few of them. I'm so excited for King Shark, though.
Yeah.
I love King Shark, especially after watching the Harley Quinn TV show. Like, I don't know if it's going to be like that kind of King Shark, but I hope it is.
He's one of my favorite characters in the show. We'll get to that.
But yeah, I don't really know that many of them, which makes me... Oh, Captain Boomerang was in the trailer, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, he's back. Sure.
Deadshot, obviously.
I don't think Deadshot is...
He's not in the movie?
Idris Elba's playing somebody else, not Deadshot. He's playing like, let me Google it.
Rick Flagg, that's his name, right? The other guy who puts them together, sort of. Amanda Waller. Whoever John Cena's playing, I've heard of that character before. I can't remember
Peacemaker?
Now. Peacemaker, yeah. But I'm really excited because I haven't heard of a lot of them, which means that James Gunn is probably going to kill a lot of them.
Yeah.
Because we have no attachments to them and they probably have very little background, or he's going to expand upon their backgrounds. I don't know. That's what makes me excited for it, because these are characters that you don't see very often and he's going to do some fun stuff with them.
Yeah, there's no chance that Pete Davidson survives this movie. Like, he's he's gone. it looks like Idris Elba is playing somebody called Bloodsport.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So, I don't know. But all sorts of characters, really diverse cast too, which is cool.
Yeah.
This movie has a high ceiling. Unfortunately, it also has a pretty low floor that it could be pretty bad. But I have faith in James Gunn, and especially as you said, I feel like this is sort of his Guardians of the Galaxy, but R, which means he's going to get to do some pretty fun shit that I don't think Marvel probably let him do.
Yeah, but do we actually know if it's rated R? I actually don't know that.
That's a good question. Do we know if the Batman is R?
I have no idea with the Batman. I don't think a rating has come out for either of them, actually.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they can't give a rating until the movie's made, I don't even know if there's a plan for them to have like, oh, we're going in with an R rating. I'm not sure. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I kind of just assumed that it would be R for some reason.
Yeah, me too. I think it will be.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to something that is definitely not R-rated. It is rated TVMA because apparently now it is a four-hour miniseries. That is the Justice League, the Snyder Cut, which is coming to HBO Max sometime, allegedly, in 2021. What are your thoughts on the Justice League, the Snyder Cut trailer?
Yeah, people can't see me right now, but I just had like my head in my hand, just like shaking it. but I think it will. Well, it better be better than what we got.
Okay.
You know, because if you ever get a redo at a movie that's already been released, like it should be better.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, you've already got, like, critics, you've got fans feedback, like, it should be better. But I don't think my opinion's going to change that much on it, because based on what we saw in the trailer, especially with Darkseid, surprise, Darkseid's in the movie. Like, I still think it's too much.
What do you mean, too much?
Too much crammed into one movie.
Okay. Even if it's a four-hour miniseries?
Oh, yeah. Just the way that Zack Snyder intended, probably, yeah. For the original release. Four miniseries. Yep. Yeah, that annoys me, too.
Yeah. Here's the thing with this. Leaving the Justice League movie in 2017 or whenever it was, I didn't hate it. It was bad, but it wasn't like... You know, the worst sin is that it's not the Avengers, in the sense that, like, there's still some part of you that's kind of excited about watching generic action with characters that you love. And The movie is passable in that sense. But that's only because it's like an hour and 59 minutes. And so I think by making it 4 hours, you've now said, okay, we're telling an epic story, but also... You're making me spend four fucking hours with it.
Like, yeah.
So it not only has to be a little bit better, it actually has to be quite a bit better, because just okay for 4 hours is going to be a huge waste of my time. And then also, like you said, if you're getting a second chance and like you're promising that, oh, it was the studio interfering and it's because I couldn't finish my cut. And I should say, with all of that mocking attitude, it's really awful why he wasn't able to finish his cut. Mm-hmm. He had to exit the movie for a very serious tragedy. So, like, in that regard, I'm glad that he's getting to, like, have the catharsis of finishing this experience or whatever. But with that promise comes really, really high expectations, and I don't even care about this movie. So,
yeah. Especially that it came out that long ago. I have a really hard time thinking about how the people that, like, the hashtag Snyder Cutters, like, that were online, I have a really hard time believing that they are going to not be like, oh, this is the exact same thing that was going to come out if Zack Snyder made the movie. Like, I think they're going to say that, and that's just not possible.
Yeah.
Like, this is not... I'm going to watch it. Maybe I'll enjoy it. I hope I do. But... it's not what we were going to get. This is a different movie, you know?
Yeah, this is Justice League, the Snyder Cut, in the sense that Zack Snyder is cutting it now.
Yes.
Like, this is not what we were going to get.
It's just a new Zack Snyder Justice League movie.
Yeah. And I mean, part of that is exciting. And getting to spend that amount of time again with characters that some people, I personally don't really have that much of a connection to any of these characters, but that some people really care about, is great. It's just the... project's inception in general is so stupid, in my opinion,
yeah,
that it's really hard to care about this. But anyways, the Justice League, the Snyder Cut, it's coming. Yay. Congratulations.
Do you think this is setting, like, I hear so many people talk about how this is going to set like a dangerous precedent for movies. Do you think that's a thing?
Yeah, I mean, I see what people are saying. So, like, basically this is one of the things that does bother me about the premise of this, is that basically a very loud minority of the internet was yelled loud enough to make a studio give them something that they demanded. And I've heard that some Snyder Cut people aren't bad people. I've heard, you know, not all Snyder Cut people, whatever, but a lot of them are really terrible, rude people, and they get their way by bullying or being belligerent to anything that Warner Bros. Posts, like, oh, here's our Lego Movie 2 trailer, and then underneath it, it's released the Snyder Cut release. It's just obnoxious stuff. And so this movie actually coming into existence is like validating that strategy, sort of, in the same way that like our political climate is kind of validating that you can be a dick, and as long as you're a loud dick, it's fine. Like, that's super frustrating to me. I don't know how many other things will be able to get this much support, though. You know, there's one way where, this sets a dangerous precedent, but there's another way where this is like somebody, you know, it's like, okay, this is the one time we do this. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess I sort of feel the same way. We've had director's cuts before. I think we've had like unfinished versions come out before, like or improved versions, like with the Star Wars movies, they redid some of the special effects and stuff like that. Blade Runner had a ton of different cuts. But I don't know if we've ever had one that's had this much money thrown at it before.
Well, the other thing is that all of those were the studio or the director being like, okay, I want to go back to this thing and finish it. And there's an agreement there. There was nobody on like 2000s internet, whatever that is, AOL message boards.
Yeah.
That was like, I want remastered versions of Star Wars. And like, and also calling people awful things to get
that's true.
So
there probably would have been, though.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know what, that's true, that is true. So maybe this is just the unnecessary byproduct of how everybody in the world can now say whatever they want online. I don't know.
I mean, there's a hashtag growing is relative to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan base, but there's a hashtag for a snap cut of the finale, because they apparently cut for time, like 15 minutes of like tying Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in with Infinity War and Endgame.
Oh.
I don't think it was cut for time. I think they just like weren't allowed to commit it to the universe.
Oh, okay.
But there's like a hashtag growing for that now. I'm like, is this because of the Snyder cut? Because it's not...
Well, then there was also like when the Snyder Cut first got announced, there was a release the Ayer cut of the Suicide Squad, or sorry, of the movie Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad. Yeah.
Yeah. which sounds like a terrible idea. I don't care. But I also didn't care about a new Justice League. So I don't know.
I think you and I are sort of in the same place where like, oh, that wasn't the version of Justice League that was going to come out. We were going to get one that was like Man of Steel or BVS. Great.
Yeah, it's changing one like known devil for an unknown devil. It's like, yeah. Who cares? So, I mean, hopefully this satisfied people for our Snyder Cut talk. I mean, I think it's pretty clear we're not excited for it, but because we're sick, masochistic people, we're gonna watch it anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, I will hate watch it, even if it's a hate watch. I hope it's something that I can watch with open eyes and be like, okay, let me appreciate some of this stuff, because I think that some of the stuff in the trailer at least indicated to me that there were going to be some differences. So like, I got kind of excited seeing Kiersey Clemons as Iris West, who was completely cut from the theatrical version. So
there's going to be more Cyborg.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, we'll see. We'll just mention a couple other things. I think most of these will be kind of positive. Maybe not this first one. There was an announcement that both Ben Affleck and Michael Keaton are going to play different Batmans in The Flash. Are you excited about this?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. I like The Flash as a character. He's one of my favorites. And I think it's really fun to be able to, I don't know how big of a part Keaton's going to have, but it's going to be fun to see him again. The same as with the big, I can't remember what it was called now, but the CW crossover that happened recently. They had every universe of DC film and TV represented in the crossover, which was so cool to see. And I feel like this is going to be that, but with a budget. And that's just like really cool to think about, like the places that they could go with The Flash.
Yeah. My one reservation is, again, just the crux that is Batman, of like relying on Batman. I think it's the same concern that people had when they put Iron Man in Spider-Man, that they were, it was just going to be another Iron Man movie. And I thought Homecoming did a really good job at balancing using Tony Stark as a supporting character. So I really hope that it is just these guys are supporting characters and it's a little bit of a nod. The other thing I'll say is that it would have been so amazing to see this movie and not know Michael Keaton was going to be in it.
Yeah.
Like,
that's people, what I felt like watching the CW thing. They were just throwing tons of actors at me and I was like, what?
Yeah. Like, wasn't.
I would have loved to see that.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil it. So I guess, you know, if you really care about the crossovers, this is just stuff that I've heard. I mean, even know if it's true.
I sort of spoiled it already. Yeah. Everything's in there.
But like Ezra Miller is in that. And so is the guy who voices Batman in the animated shows, right? Like Kevin, whatever his name is, Kevin Conroy. That's cool. So, okay, let's just wrap up with a couple other exciting things. They announced a Shazam 2 title called Shazam Fury of the Gods, along with, they showed some Black Adam concept art and made the announcement that he will be facing what is called the Justice Society of America, which sounds like B-list Justice League. I don't know. It's got Hawkman, Dr. Fate, Cyclone, and Atom Smasher. I know nothing about any of this. Is this something you can explain?
The characters or the story?
Yeah, just like what this means. Like, are you excited for it?
I'm really excited for it. Black Adam is like one of the strongest characters in the DC universe.
Strongest as in like power, or strongest as in interesting character?
Oh, not really that interesting.
Okay.
But very strong. He's basically Shazam if Shazam didn't have like a like moral compass. Or he's like Shazam mixed with Doctor Doom, I think is a better version of it. He's like a leader of a nation and he like will do anything to protect it, and that often clashes with the Justice Society.
Yeah, so what is the Justice Society?
I could butcher this. I don't know that much.
No, it's like, I'm assuming everything you know is 100% accurate.
It's like either a prelude or a branch off of the Justice League.
Okay.
That's sort of what I think it is. And it had like a very different cast of characters. And the ones that it listed, I'm guessing, are because they don't want to recast a new Superman or a new Batman for this movie.
Yeah.
But it's still going to be really fun to see them fight Black Adam. I don't know how they all don't get demolished by him. but yeah, I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, Dwayne Johnson, I believe, mentioned, who is going to be playing Black Adam, he mentioned that Black Adam in this iteration is like a slave from some alien race or something. So I think that'll be a really cool angle to see what that means. Like, we might see him being, this movie might be like the Killmonger perspective from Black Panther, which would be really cool.
That would be really cool.
Framing him as some sort of anti-hero or something. That'd be really cool. Again, I don't know if I trust DC to do that, but we'll see.
I think The Rock is going to be fun to watch either way, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's just one of those actors that no matter what you do, he can be in a really bad movie and you can still like watching him do things, even if you, in your heart and brain, know that what he's doing is not good. You know? Is that like, did you see Rampage?
I agree. I haven't seen Rampage, but I've seen the Jumanji movies.
Hey, no, the Jumanji movies are actually funny and good. Don't slander the Jumanji movies.
Right. Yes, exactly. That's what I was going to
Strike
say.
Two, Ian. Let's move on just with one last little piece of information. They're making a Static Shock movie. This is so cool. Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yep. I don't know if they officially confirmed it, but Geeks of Color reported on it, so I'm taking it as fact. Static Shock movie in development. So cool. I love that character.
Did they say the title is Static Shock, or did they say Static? I'm just curious.
No, they said a Static Shock movie was in development.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah. Or that, you know, there would be Static Shock movies as well as animated movies or shows, or they're like reviving the Static Shock thing. So I think that's cool.
That was like a big cartoon growing up.
Oh, yeah. That was like my jam Saturday mornings was watching Static Shock on WB Kids. And that was before I had cable. So it was like the only time I got to watch cartoons was Saturday morning from 8 to 10. It was like Pokemon, Static Shock, and then Scooby-Doo maybe. So very excited for this.
Yeah.
All right. That wraps up the HBO No, that wraps up the DC fandom. Is there anything you want to say, closing words or anything, or should we move on?
Just that if I'm ever on this again to talk about DC, I'm probably going to mix up Suicide Squad and the Suicide Squad every single time. So that's just a preface. And the same with Eternals when that comes out, because they just retitled that from the Eternals to Eternals.
I can't wait for David Ayer to make a movie called The Guardians of the Galaxy. Just to like make it full circle. All right. Let's go ahead and move on to the main review for the day. This is DC's animated series on HBO Max, Harley Quinn. So first, I'll just read a IMDb synopsis of Harley Quinn. The series focuses on a single Harley Quinn, as in her relationship, she's single, but there's also just a single Harley Quinn in the show, who sets off to make it on her own in Gotham City. Harley Quinn stars Kaley Cuoco, Lake Bell, and Alan Tudyk. It is written and produced by Justin Halpern, Patrick Schumacher, and Dean Laurie, and it is created by Paul Dini and Bruce Timm, the two guys who actually created the Harley Quinn character back in the day.
You're a strong woman who doesn't care what other people think.
Right!
Exactly!
Reach!
If I want a crew, I should be looking for scumbags no one else believes in.
That really hurt you!
Holy shit. He just became like the least employable person on Earth.
Exactly. I didn't just get a crew of bad guys. I got the fucking worst. Joker, this is my score.
Well, it was. Throw Harley out.
If he wants to fuck with me, I will fuck right back.
Seems like she's doing pretty well.
You know she has HPV, right?
Most sexually active adults do.
Then anyone who is a respected supervillain is in the Legion of Doom. That's when you know you've made it. If Joker can get in, so can I.
You crossed the line, Quinn. You're going to Arkham.
Bye-bye.
So the Harley Quinn show has two seasons. I believe they originally aired on the DC Universe thing that was kind of absorbed into HBO Max. The first season aired in 2019, and then the second season aired earlier in 2020. And so far as we know, it has not been renewed for a third season. So spoiler-free, Ian, what are your thoughts on the Harley Quinn TV show?
This show is hilarious.
Yeah.
Even if you don't, even if you don't know, some of the more obscure characters that are in the show, you don't really need to, because they make it like painfully obvious why these characters are less known. Specifically like Kite Man. I can't like say enough about Kite Man. We're going to talk about him probably a lot, but he's my favorite character in the show. You wouldn't have heard of him except for maybe in some Batman comics. Maybe, but you've never heard of this guy before, and he becomes a favorite in this show, and I think that's a really cool part of this show. There are cameos and side characters of like from like the Justice League. There's Batman, obviously, because it takes place in Gotham, but it's really focused on like relationships between like these BC list villains and what it's like to be like at the bottom of the totem pole, and it's so funny.
Yeah, completely agree. For people who haven't seen the show or whatever, this is an ultra-violent cartoon. This is very clearly for adults. I was watching this late at night once, and Dana was like about to go to sleep or whatever, and I was watching something where Harley Quinn was just cursed out loud or something, and she was like, oh, this is for adults. I was like, okay, first off, offensive. Second off, yes, it's for adults. They cuss a lot. There is a lot of graphic violence, a lot of sexual innuendo, things like that. The show is also really meta, and it is very much aware of the DC mythos, I would say, and it just makes fun of everybody. It drags everybody. Everybody from Superman all the way down to Calendar Man and Kite Man.
Hey, what do you mean all the way down to Calendar Man? He's top tier, baby.
All the way down to Condiment King. Is that better?
Condiment King, yeah.
There are so many times in this show where I went to the like DC wiki to be like, there's no way this is a real character. Mm-hmm. And I think there was maybe one time where they invented something in season two that wasn't originally from a comic. But Kite Man is an actual freaking character. And for those of mm-hmm. you who haven't seen the show, Kite Man is a super villain whose power is he has a kite that he attaches to his back so he can kind of fly when it's windy. Like, that's his super villain power.
It's so funny. I was watching this to get ready for this podcast, and like coinciding with that, I'm reading sort of the history of the like Marvel comics. I'm in like the 60s right now, like all the way at the beginning. And it's so funny. The villains that they make up in the 60s were just like absolutely insane. Like, I mean, like Condiment King, he shoots condiments. There's a Marvel villain called Paste Pot Pete, and he just like shoots glue out of a little glue gun. Like, it's so funny, like the stuff that they came up with, and seeing them all referenced today in the Harley Quinn thing is so funny.
I think the craziest Marvel villains that I've heard of is there's like a guy who just can detach one of his arms and throw it at people.
Arm fall off, man. Yep. Yeah.
And then isn't there a guy who can teleport into the next room? Doorman or something?
Oh, that sounds right.
I don't know. Well, anyways, yeah. Back to this show. I mean, it's such a funny show. It's really entertaining. I think Harley Quinn is a very good central character, but as is clear from what we've been talking about so far, I think the show's greatest strength is this wide, diverse supporting and cameo characters in the show. Mm-hmm. So basically, Harley Quinn is kind of best friends with Poison Ivy in the show, who is also great. And then they kind of have this ragtag crew of just the bottom of DC's barrel that includes basically people who were rejected from being the big supervillains in the what is it called? The
evil. Injustice League.
Thank you. The Injustice League. So you've got King Shark, who we'll talk about in a sec, Clayface, and then Dr. Psycho, who is a telepath, like a really good villain. But the reason that he's not accepted into the Justice or the Injustice League is because on national TV, he calls Wonder Woman the C word and nobody will touch him. So that's the type of humor that this that this is operating
even
on.
Even Darkseid so brings it up. Yeah. It's so funny.
Yeah, so these people that will, like, murder thousands of people just won't touch this guy, won't associate with him because he called Wonder Woman the C-word, which perfectly fair that people wouldn't want to be around him. So the other aspect of the show that I think is great is that it's very purposefully feminist and girl power in a really smart and creative way. And I think one of the criticisms that people have with the Harley Quinn character is that she's kind of hypersexualized and she's just Joker's side piece and all of this problematic stuff with their relationship and everything. But this TV show does a very good job at saying we're going to separate Harley Quinn from that character, as I think has been happening in the comics recently. And because of Margot Robbie, probably, but separate from the Joker character, we're going to acknowledge that problematic relationship and actually make the toxic relationship part of the premise of the show and why she leaves him and what she's looking for outside of a relationship with Joker. I think all of that is great.
Yeah, totally. That was the first episode where they sort of went through that whole growth, because that's sort of continual over the series, but the initial separation, I was like, come on, let's get through it. That's the only episode that I was sort of bored by, because I was like, I know what the show's going to be, get to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the first season is really well-paced and structured in that it is kind of like there's actually a story and an arc for Harley, and there's a lot of great themes about exploring what it means to, like, exploring your identity outside of a relationship, especially after leaving a toxic relationship. All of that is really actually interesting, powerful stuff. I do think that season two does not have as great of a reason to exist, at least narratively speaking. And there's actually part of that season, which I think we'll talk about in spoilers, that I don't love because it sort of undermines part of season one. But yeah, I mean, overall, I think this show is, it just has everything. It's so funny, but then it also has characters that you actually kind of care about. But let's go ahead and just move into spoilers because, you know, we're already pretty close to an hour here and there's some stuff that we definitely want to talk about in specifics. But why don't you summarize your thoughts on the TV show and what people might expect if they haven't seen the show and you're trying to recommend it to them?
Yeah, I love this show. You're definitely, if you've seen like Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool, you would love this show. It's very meta in that way, except like everybody is sort of Deadpool in this show.
Yeah, it's
where they all know the ins and outs of the universe, but they're all also caricatures of what you would know them as. Like Batman is only very dark and brooding. That's all he does. Jim Gordon is only a damn good cop. And he knows it. But it's really that kind of thing. It's so fun to watch. If you're at all a fan of the DC universe, I guess even if you're not, like, this is a good place to dive in and learn everything all at once, like the basics of everything all at once, though. I think it's a really great show. I think I'd give it like an 8 out of 10 so far.
Yeah, nice. I completely agree. I think it's a great show. I think it's a great, I mean, speaking of how awful people in fandoms can be, I think it's a great middle finger to a lot of, or not even a lot, but the vocal minority of misogynistic and racist comic book fans that think they're comic book fans but don't understand what comic books are about. I think this
That's
TV
what
show,
Dr. Psycho's there for. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there's even a season in episode 2 that explicitly.
Scene.
Yeah. 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 Scene. Season 2. There's a scene in season 2 that explicitly makes fun of like Snyder Cut people. And so, yeah, the show is just really smartly written. It's really fun. I would say that this is actually a show that like is best to be spread out over time instead of watching in just one binge, because part of the like the best part about this show to me is the energy and the kind of chaotic unpredictability of the show. And once you watch a couple of them in a row, you get just naturally kind of numb to the shock humor. And I think when you've taken a bit of time back and then you watch another one, I'm instantly just laughing my ass off from like one of the first two pieces of dialogue.
Yeah, I think that might actually be why I enjoyed season one so much more, because I was watching it on DC Universe and it came out like one episode a week. So I really had to pace myself, I guess, a week for the episode.
Yeah.
No, it was a lot better that way. And there are tons of shows like, mostly comedies, I think, where you do grow numb to the style that they do. And I think this is like any of those.
Yeah. So definitely 8 out of 10 for me too, Harley Quinn. Let's talk about spoilers. Spoilers for Harley Quinn through season 2 starting now.
That's my secret, Cat. I'm always angry.
So there is a thing in season 2 that happens where Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn start a relationship. And honestly, I didn't think it was that great of a plotline. I really thought that Harley Quinn was much more interesting as a single independent character. And I didn't like that she was just suddenly again trying to define herself in a relationship. And then I also thought it kind of undermined everything that I thought was really, I mean, as insofar as like this silly animated show can be beautiful, but that was really so beautiful about the first season, which was the female friendship and the idea of friendship being a type of love that is, can be better and stronger than romantic love, especially if that romantic love is toxic, like it was in the case of Harley and Joker's relationship. So I didn't love that it was just like, oh, no, actually, they're romantically involved now.
Yeah, I sort of agree. It was one of those things you could also see coming all season long, I think.
Yeah. And certainly not because one of the title cards on one of the episodes shows them kissing. And I was like, oh, damn, I see that coming from 6 episodes away.
Oh, see, I saw that and I didn't know if it had to do with like Ivy's powers or not, because she like influences people with kisses sometimes. But yeah, I agree. I think Harley is, not that she shouldn't be happy with someone, but I do think that that was something really great where you got to see her on her own. And maybe if like, not that I want like 18 seasons of this show, but if it, if they did something where they ended the show with that and built up to it, after like going through more growth, I think that would have been better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I also definitely don't want to say there shouldn't be an LGBTQ relationship in a major thing, which, so it's like kind of sucky, I guess. So like what I think I really wanted was to keep the Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn like female friendship thing that you don't really get, especially in superhero movies, because I thought that was really powerful. I was like, they do love each other, but they're friends and that's good. And I think, again, with like an 18 season or, you know, whatever thing, introducing another character that can be female or whatever and having that be Harley Quinn's romantic person that she realizes is loves her in a non-toxic way, I think that would be more effective. And also, they did my boy Kite Man dirty. What the hell?
I know. I was so sad for him.
Yeah. I mean, I am glad that he was sort of like realized that he shouldn't be going through with the wedding because she clearly didn't love him or whatever. It's kind of silly that we're talking about this show like this, because this is a character that has a freaking kite on his back. But
hey.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so you mentioned you don't want this to be 18 seasons, but do you want a third season? Or
yeah, I think I want a third season at the very least to see where they go with this relationship.
Okay.
And also, they just introduced like Batgirl, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, she's a cool character. She's really funny. I do think that you can kind of, maybe it is just the binge model of it, but you can kind of feel the car running out of gas a little bit towards the end of season two, where like, especially with fight scenes, for example, it's a lot of her just kicking people's heads off and stuff, where I'm like, I see, it's now not as unpredictable as it was at the beginning, and it does suffer from that a little.
Yeah, I don't know, again, if that was just a part of the binging experience, though. Yeah. If that would have been a different thing if I had seen an episode a week, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
It's so hard to tell with shows nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly wouldn't, like, be upset with a season three or anything. I wouldn't hate if there wasn't one either, though, because it does have a relatively good ending. But yeah, at least one or maybe two more seasons to kind of wrap things up. And then also, this is just such a great sandbox, and there's so many things that they could do, right? Like, there's so many characters that they haven't touched. And every time they touch a character, it's like the funniest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite character in the show other than Kite Man? I'll exclude him.
Other than Kite Man, either Jim Gordon or King Shark, probably. Yeah.
King Shark is my go-to. He is so funny. The scene when he gets like mind controlled by Dr. Psycho and Batman is about to fight them, and he's telling the Justice League, like, don't worry about the clay monster. He's harmless, and the shark doesn't like violence. And then he just like murders a guy or whatever. Just whenever King Shark does anything where he kind of has to be violent but doesn't want to, it's so funny for me.
Yeah, it is. And I think one of the reasons I really enjoy Jim Gordon, like, he, you know, he's just like an alcoholic, sad guy a lot of the time. Yeah. But he's also very much the police officer Jim Gordon, with like the whole like damn good cop thing every time he does a cop thing.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because one of the Batman series that I've been reading recently is a sort of along the same line as like the plot in season two. Batman is hurt and Jim Gordon has to take over for Batman. And it's so funny. It's like the equivalent of the CW Flash. Like, they solve a storyline just by Iris being like, run, Barry, run. In the comic, it's like it all leads up every time to Jim Gordon being like, you have to do this because you're a good cop. And it's so funny the way that they played specifically that up in the show, because that just goes to show how good they are with their characters and understanding like the roots of them.
Yeah, and knowing also just the mythos of each character, like what each character means in like the collective consciousness even, right? Like you said, none of the characters are really fleshed out other than Harley and to an extent Poison Ivy, but like Batman is just, he's not like a parody of Batman, but he's Batman stripped to his two characteristics. Yeah. And then they just make
it's
fun
like
of it.
Lego Batman.
Yeah. Or like when Superman shows up, it's just Superman is so perfect that even Wonder Woman hates him.
Yeah.
Like every time Superman says something, Wonder Woman's just like rolling his eyes. And it's so, it's so funny. Is there a character that hasn't been in the show that you want to see featured in a potential third season using all your DC knowledge? I truly can't think of anyone.
There have been so many characters in this show in even just little parts. That's a really hard one. Have they done Slade?
No, they haven't.
I think I would choose him.
Oh, well, Deathstroke is kind of cameoed at some point. I think he's also one of the, no, that's KG Beast, I think, is one of the people that is also in Harley Quinn's class of being recruited to the Injustice League. Maybe Deathstroke is there too. I don't know.
Yeah, he might have been.
I'm also remembering now that Bane is in this show and everything Bane's
one of my favorite characters. He's like that one character that every comedy has where they just like dunk on this guy every time he's on screen.
Yeah. I actually have one question just to wrap it out. This Clayface character I think is hilarious, and he just basically wants to be an actor because he can change his shape into anything. Is that at all how he is in the comics? Like,
I mean, he's an actor in the comics, but he's not the... like, I have to be an actor at all times kind of thing. Okay. It's like every once in a while he'll make a nod to it and be like, I can do this, don't worry, because I was an actor once.
Okay. His whole character and the fact that he and like half the other characters are played by Alan Tudyk is so funny. Alan Tudyk's Joker.
JB's move is really funny too.
Oh, as Frank the Plant?
Yeah.
The voice acting in general I thought is pretty good, and they have some very talented people in here.
Yeah.
I do think Kaylee Cuoco kind of yell acts a lot in a way that is a little bit grating. I think like Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn, her kind of demeanor is better, but overall great show, great cast. It's such a fun time.
Yeah. And you didn't believe me. You made fun of me on this podcast, I think, once for bringing this up as my point too.
Did I?
Or you made fun of me on a run once, because I was like, I've been watching this Harley Quinn show.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, yeah, no, I will eat crow if I did that.
Yeah,
I mean, well, what sold it on me was you sent me some YouTube clips of Kite Man just being a shithead. And it was so funny that I just was waiting until they dropped it onto HBO Max. So I'm so glad it's on there. You should definitely check it out. So this has been our review of Harley Quinn, as well as our discussion of the DC fandom. Ian, thank you for joining me as always. Is there anything specific that you'd like to plug?
You can follow me on Twitter at IAnderson. The O is a zero. You can look forward to me tweeting about my newly recovered Neopets account.
Oh my God.
Later this week. That'll be fun.
So it's still like completely set up, like you can log in and everything.
I logged in, and my only Neopet, it said his condition was dying, but his happiness was content.
Oh. Well, if that's not the perfect state for 2020, I don't know what is. We're all dying, but we're content with dying, because that's all we can be. Okay, well, thanks for joining me, Ian.
Of course.
The intro music for this episode is a piece called Work by Kevin MacLeod, and you can find more of his work at incompetech.com. If you'd like to keep up with this podcast and find out when we release new episodes, you can follow us on Twitter at MovieMaraPod or on Facebook at facebook.com/MovieMaraPod. That's Movie M-A-R-A Pod. And you can always reach out to us at our email, MovieMarathonersPod@gmail.com. You can find more episodes of this podcast at our website, evergreenpodcasts.com/movie-marathoners. And we are also on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, Overcast, Himalaya, and CastBox. So please subscribe or write a review if you like what we're doing. And any feedback you have to help improve the podcast is always appreciated. So thank you all for listening, and we hope you'll join us again next time when I am joined by Rosa and Kat from the Latinx Lens podcast to review Disney's live-action epic coming straight to Disney Plus for one tiny payment of $30, Mulan. So I will be forking up money for that. Ian, how about you? You forking up money for that?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Of course.
Movie theaters, I miss you. So stay tuned for that. Until then, bye.
Hi, I'm Christina Yerling-Biro, host of the podcast Pop Culture Confidential. Join me as I go way behind the scenes with some of the most influential people in entertainment and media. Hear actors such as Succession's Brian Cox talk about his favorite characters to play.
There always has to be a mystery. The audience have to be in a situation where they want to know what's going on.
Meet studio execs like Pixar chief Pete Docter and learn his secret on how he makes us cry.
Emotion is our first language.
And so many others who are defining popular culture, from Obama speechwriter David Litt to Top Chef host Padma Lakshmi.
We don't often think about food politically, or we don't want to, but it really is.
Join me. Search for Pop Culture Confidential wherever you get your podcasts.